but we're much better than what we showed against them, and this is what we're gonna show them tonight. No doubt in my head. Let's go, guys.
Listening to the 90 Plus Podcast. Here's your hosts, Ben Rigetti and Sebastian Pereira.
All right, episode 44 of the 90 Plus Podcast, brought to you by Roughneck Scarves and part of the Beautiful Game Network. I'm your host, Ben Rigetti, at Rigetti Ben. And boy, oh boy, what a season opener the Whitecaps just had. This is Tuesday. The Whitecaps played Sunday night against Cascadia rivals Portland. 1-0 win. Lucas Cavallini getting the goal, coming off a corner, which Andy Rose almost scored off of. I mean, could you imagine if Andy Rose got that first goal? But oh man, big 3 points. Chance for a lot of momentum be built here. There's a weakened TFC team in our sights. You know, the Whitecaps, they are chomping at the bits here. They had players away, coming back from injury, coming back from quarantines, visas. This is a weakened Whitecaps team that's only going to get stronger. If they manage to hold out and shut out a potent Timbers offense with the likes of Andy Rose, again, no offense, Andy Rose, but if they were able to do it with that, just imagine Eric Godoy, Derek Cornelius, Ali Adnan, Bruno Gaspar, you know, the Kai Alexander, the list goes on and on. Players that the Whitecaps are missing that will get back, which will only make them stronger. We have an awesome episode for you guys today. We've got Gemma Carson-Smith of the Canadian Press coming on. We recap that Portland game, talking about, you know, a little Christian Gutierrez. This is a big Christian Gutierrez podcast. We love him on here, and to see him get MLS Team of the Week for an awesome performance against Portland and that left back spot. Definitely dive into his performance, look at Russell Tybert, sort of him out on the left wing as well, seeing how he fares, you know, his kind of time in center mid slowly running up. So took a little bit of a look there. Diver Caicedo made his debut, and man, what a debut it was. Picked up a little bit of an injury, but he seems A-okay in that second half there. And yeah, and then to wrap up the episode, we've got Michael Singh from Waken the Reds coming on. He gives us a little bit of a preview against for the Toronto game against the Whitecaps. Lots of injuries, like we said, for Toronto. Players are away. It's looking like a little bit of a beat-up squad. They just got embarrassed by Montreal. Imagine losing 4-2 to Montreal. Couldn't be the Whitecaps. Anyway, big episode. Michael Singh, Gemma Carson-Smith. Before we get into all of that, though, we do have a little bit of business to attend to. As always, we've got our Soccer West gift card giveaway. And our winner this week is... I don't know how to say this name. Revulsely? You know who you are. R-V-U-L-C-X-L-Y. He guessed Cavallini. He is actually three. I'm presuming it's he. He is 3-for-3 so far between preseason and regular season now. This is his first time winning the contest. So congratulations to you. We will DM you for how you can claim your prize. And if you have no idea what we're talking about, well, let me tell you. Another Whitecaps game day means another Whitecaps giveaway with our proud sponsor, Soccer West. All you need to do to enter this week's giveaway is comment who you think will be the first Whitecaps player to score this week versus Toronto on our game day post on either Instagram or Twitter at 90PlusPodcast. If you guess right, you'll be entered to win a $25 gift card to their Abbotsford, Langley, Vancouver, or White Rock store. If the Whitecaps win big, then you win big. If the Whitecaps score 5 goals, we'll up it to a Vancouver 2021 home jersey. Soccer West is your go-to soccer store in Vancouver and the Fraser Valley, selling boots, balls, team merchandise, and all the rest of the equipment you need to get game ready. Be sure to visit any of the 4 Soccer West locations, as well as visit our social media on Instagram and Twitter at 90PlusPodcast. Soccer West, supplier of all your soccer and rugby needs. So, big congrats to our winner, Revulsely. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. I'm sure I am. He guessed it on Instagram. Remember, you can enter on Instagram and Twitter. So check us out on both of those. We've got a whole bunch of stuff lined up this week leading into this Toronto game at Saturday at noon. We're aiming to try get an episode out the day after each Whitecaps game, just so you know, you guys don't forget about, you know, important Cascadia 1-0 wins or, you know, beatdowns of Canadian rivals, you know, or however it may be this year. But yeah, no, we're going to aim for the day after every game. If we are a day or two late, I do apologize. I am, you know, a student. I'm working several jobs as well as, you know, this one's my favorite, the podcast. I get to sit here. I get to talk to you guys. If the audio is a little bit better, it's because I've got a brand new microphone. I'm loving it. I'm having a great time with this. It wasn't there for the Gemma and the Michael interview. So if the audio is a little bit worse, then, you know, my apologies. If it's better, well, then I'm going to need a refund. So with all of that out of the way, we've got Gemma, we've got Michael, we've got an awesome episode, and yeah, listen all the way through. We've got a great chat at the end, previewing that TFC game, and we will talk to you guys later in the week, if not after the Whitecaps play Toronto at noon this upcoming Saturday. See you guys soon. All right, we are now joined by Gemma Carson-Smith of the Canadian Press. Gemma, how are you doing this lovely, you know, it's beautiful out here today in Vancouver. Gorgeous.
Yeah, day. I'm excited to get out into the sunshine. And we've been super lucky lately, which means that I'm sure there'll be rain for the next like 3 weeks. So.
I think it's Thursday. The tides are going to turn. So I've got a couple of days left.
Better enjoy it while we can.
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll dive right on into things then. Whitecaps fresh off a big 1-0 win over Portland down in Utah. What were some of your biggest takeaways, your opening thoughts from that game?
I think it's a solid start to the season for the Caps. I think they started off a little bit shaky, but found their footing as the game went on. To see that group perform like that was a good indication. I don't know that you would get that same result if you put that same group out again and again. But like Mark has said over the past few weeks, there's a lot more guys to come to this team. So there could be some excitement brewing on the horizon based on the first result and what we know is in the pipeline.
The starting 11, what we saw, it's pretty much what we saw for a lot of preseason and, you know, given the injuries, given the, you know, visa issues, quarantining, whatever, I think that's probably the best starting 11 DeSantis could have put out. And it's sort of what everyone's expecting coming out of that Chicago Fire game. Did anyone sort of stand out for you? I know Christian Gutierrez at left back made the team of the week. So, you know, obviously, you know, throw his name into the conversation. Who else sort of out there? You know, maybe he was like, oh, like, you know, there might not necessarily be a starter when, you know, all these players come back and everyone's healthy and everything. But who do you think sort of vying, you know, using this playing time to make their starting role?
I don't know about a starting role, but I think that Michael Baldissimo continues to show that he is a solid option off the bench. Obviously, he started on Sunday, but I don't think that will be that he'll be a stalwart in the 11 going forward this season, but he continues to be a solid option coming off the bench. He continues to show that he is a strong player in the middle of the field, that he can stay on the ball. I think he's definitely got some work to do. Mark was saying that he needs a little bit more personality and to even be a little bit stronger and be able to defend a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. I think those are all things that we saw on Sunday, but he's grown a lot from where he was this point last season. And if he can continue that growth, he's got a solid future.
And, you know, there was a whole movement last year of the play the kids, you know, Patrick mm-hmm. Metcalf, Gutierrez, Baldissimo, Ryan Raposo, Theo, you know, the list goes on and on and on. It was a very young bench that we saw yesterday. And obviously, you know, that kind of plays into some of the parts of Kyle Alexandre, Bruno Gasper, Aliadne, all players not in the lineup. So when you're sort of thinking about, you know, the likes of Fakarini and Metcalf, some of these players that might not get overly amounts of minutes, you know, Mark DeSantos, he was pretty reluctant to bring players on from the bench. He took pretty much the full 90 minutes before seeing any activity. Are you taking anything away from that, or is it just sort of, you know, a one-off sort of game?
I think that was they were clinging to that result. Yeah. a little bit of trepidation there to make any changes that could jeopardize that. Mm-hmm. We know from past experience that Portland is a very offensive team. I believe they were at the top of the league last season in goals scored. So to hold them off the scoreboard entirely, to get a clean sheet against them, is not easy. And you don't want to tinker with what's working, I think, especially when you know that you've got more pieces coming in the next week or so. So you don't have to worry as much about fatigue when you know you're going to get some fresh bodies into the lineup. I would assume that's the rationale behind those decisions. Obviously, I'm not in his head, but that would be my thinking if I were Mark DeSantis.
So let's break down some of the, area by area, the positions on the field. So defense overall kept a clean sheet, like you said, against a very potent Timbers offense. Max Kripo was great. He had my nod for man of the match. I thought he was made a number of key saves down the stretch, very dominant in the 6-yard box, pushing out to the 18 as well. He had a huge save in the last, I think it was like the 88th minute or something, I think, against Felipe Mora. Mm-hmm. Defense across the board. I mean, realistically, this is this was a back line that isn't going to see a lot of minutes once you get the likes of Eric Godoy, Bruno Gaspar, Ali Adnan, Derek Cornelius coming back from injury. This is, you know, mostly a sort of piece them together back line. So how do you think they fared out there for those 90 minutes?
I think that you're very right to point out that Max had an excellent game. It's huge to remember that he hasn't played a regular season MLS match in like 8 months, 9 months. So I think that he helped the defense out a huge amount, but they were serviceable. I mean, yeah. That sounds worse than I mean it to. Mm-hmm. They did their job. They helped him get that clean sheet. I don't think you're going to want to stick with that lineup if you can avoid it. But it's pretty great that in a situation where you can't avoid it, they did their jobs.
Yeah.
So I don't know what more you can ask for. And to get those guys some minutes early on in the season, especially when you don't know how much time they're going to get in the lineup, that's big. That's big mm-hmm. for their confidence. Going into it's a pretty packed campaign again this year. So you're going to need all the bodies you can get, and to get some confidence up, to get a solid result early is huge.
And so we've got the likes of Jake Nowinski and Christian Gutierrez, who, you know, once the announcement of Bruno Gaspar was joining the team, it sort of seemed like almost immediately you're plugging in him over Nowinski. You're going to stick with the DP over Christian Gutierrez. What do these players need to do to sort of keep their spot? You know, they've got, you know, maybe another one or two games in there. I'm not sure about Ali Adnan's situation, but Bruno Gaspar, he's out of quarantine and he's training with the team. So Jake Nowinski's time as a starter could be limited. So what does he need to do if he gets that chance against Toronto? What does he need to do to kind of show himself out there?
I think he needs to continue being the defensive, solid defensively, like we saw on Sunday and like we've seen in previous seasons. But last season, what Jake did was he upped his offense as well. Mm-hmm. And I know that was something he'd really concentrated on. At one point, he had like the second most goals on the team, which was something I had not expected. But I think if we can see him bring that, it'll bode well for him. I don't know if that's realistic, but it's just considering the system that they're working in this season. But I think that's what he needs to do in order to secure the starting spot. The other thing is I don't know that Jake needs to be an everyday starter this season. I'm sure that he would disagree with me, but he might be primed to take on a different role with this team. He's more of a mature player now. He can take on more of a mentoring role with some of the younger guys and be a force off the bench. Come in to really seal games defensively in the later parts. And yeah, I think that you really could see him take on a different role this season, but please don't tell him I said that because he'll definitely be mad at me.
Well, if Jake is listening to this podcast, I'm sure he's heard some much worse things. All kind of aside, Christian, and then, that's the right back spot. Mm-hmm. On the left side, we've got Christian Gutierrez putting a great shift, and this is a 90 plus is a big Christian Gutierrez podcast. We've, been on his, we've been egging him on since day one, basically. We're big supporters. We love it to see him do well. So him making the team of the week, that's a big deal for me and Seb, who obviously isn't here, which is why you're here. So all of a sudden you've got someone breaking into the team of the week. And, we've seen the kind of caliber of player that Christian Gutierrez can be. And Mark DeSanto said before this game that, it's almost like it's a different play with Guti this year compared to last year. So we're expecting a big leap forward for him. So you've got Ali Adnan, who's a DP, and you can't really, if you spend the money on the DP, you can't have him sitting on the bench, which is sort of what we saw last year. And Gutierrez beat him out for his spot a little bit. Mm. And I think that's a big reason why Ali Adnan had such a resurgence in the second half of the year. And he went on to get that MVP of the season for the Whitecaps. The fact that he lost his job, that lit a fire under him. And all of a sudden he's, battling for his job and he's battling to keep his job. So now that we've sort of seen that Ali Adnan can elevate his game, would you keep him up at left back and keep Tybert at left mids? Or would you move Adnan forward a little bit and Guti at left back and sit Tybert? What's your kind of, if you're Mark DeSantos and you're getting Ali Adnan back in a week or two, how are you kind of pulling him into the fold here?
I'm going to tell him that it's we've got guys who are challenging you for a job here, because I think Ali really thrives on that competition. Mm-hmm. That internal competition he's one of those athletes who really burns hot, and you can see that in some of his more questionable plays on the field sometimes. But that's not necessarily a bad thing if you can harness it like he did in the latter half of last season. So I think that, yeah, you're definitely going to have to make some adjustments on the field if you want to get Guti in there. That might require sitting Rusty for a little bit and moving Ali up. I think that the bigger thing, though, is to make sure he knows that his spot isn't guaranteed. And like I said before, this is a pack campaign. You're going to need to be rotating bodies. You're going to need everyone you can. So having options is not a bad thing. These are, Mark would like to say that these are good decisions to have to make.
Yeah. So we spoke a little on Russell Tybert there. Mm-hmm. He's typically, for the most part of his time with the Whitecaps, he's been that sort of work hard center mid up and down the field, but his natural position is over on that sort of left wing, left mid, sort of attacking, a little bit more creative, a little bit more free flowing. What did you make of his performance against Portland there? And do you think kind of for the future, we can see him there a bit more often than that center mid spot?
I hope so. I liked him on the wing. I haven't seen him on the wing in a long time, and it was nice to see. I think that he does have a little bit more freedom up there. He doesn't have that same kind of lock it down mentality that he had in center mid. I think that the creativity part is something he's going to have to rediscover. I don't think he was terribly creative on Sunday, but I think that that's something that will come. The more time that he gets there. And I think it could come back for sure. I think that it's a good spot for him. Again, it's good to have options and to know that he can work in various different roles. So yeah, I think that it's, And he seems really excited about it. When we talked to him last week, he seemed to just, he kind of had this little like beam to his face about talking about playing the wing and about how he was going back to his roots. So it's nice to see someone fall in love with what they're doing all over again.
And I think a big part of that is that sort of in the back of his mind, he knows that center mid room is very crowded, even more so with Kyle Alexander coming in there. You've got Kayo, you know, Bekel, you've got Wusu, Baldissimo's breaking out, Patrick Metcalf, they're trying to give him minutes. Andy Rose can play there if needs be. So he knows that, you know, his time at center mid, you know, wearing a Whitecaps jersey may be up. So I think that's, you know, for someone of, he's been with the team for so long, he, you know, he's Vancouver Whitecaps through and through. Do you think that sort of playing in the back of his head that, you know, he's got to stick to this position if he wants to keep seeing minutes?
Yeah, I think so. I think that he knows his role with this group. He really does. I mean, he's been here for a decade. He's grown up with this team. Like you said, he's Whitecaps through and through. He will do whatever it takes to stay in the 11. Or even in the 18, I think. Like, he'll do whatever is required of him that makes the team stronger. So I think he's one of those, like most professional athletes, he wants to be on the field at all times, but he recognizes that changes and adaptations may need to be made for the betterment of the group. And he seems to be a real like team player in that regard.
And then on the other wing, that's obviously left, on the right side, the new boy Diver Caicedo. Mm-hmm. What did you make of his MLS debut? He was up and down the field, creating lots of space. And the big thing that, you know, the coaches have been bragging about him is that this guy has got a motor. He will go all out for 90 minutes and he will happily do it again and again. So I think having that energy and that burst of speed, and he reminds me a lot of David Milinkovic, which I think was a bigger loss than some people are making out to be. He was very direct in his play. He goes at defenders rather than sort of going side to side, which we saw a lot in the Whitecaps possession, especially in the first half. So I do think that having someone that would just take the ball up 20 yards towards the defenders and really kickstart an attack, I think that's huge for the Whitecaps offense to have. And so for that, in his MLS debut, I thought that was a great showing for Diver.
He is so fast, so fast. He was just burning guys out there. Yeah. And I think that's what sets him apart from Milinkovic. Milinkovic was that big body, which is so good in some circumstances, but you get that in Cava. So to have the speed of Diver and the big body of Cava, that's something special. For sure. And like you were saying with Diver, he just goes and goes and goes. You saw him take like there was a pretty nasty knock that he took in the first half, and he just like, he was down on the field for a couple minutes but got right back up. Didn't miss a beat, was back in there. I'm very impressed with him so far.
And then having that sort of, having that speed and that movement has got to do a lot for the likes of Jake Nowinski, who is someone that, like you said, he's, you know, attacking isn't the, you know, the biggest arrow in his quiver. You know, it's something he's had to develop and work on. So having someone that's going to do a little bit more work up and down the field, it's got to allow someone like Jake Nowinski to sort of blossom that little bit more, have the ability to go forward when he wants. And then even, you know, bringing Bruno Gaspar into the mix, who is an attacking fullback. And that's, you know, a big reason why DeSantos went out and brought him in on this 1 year loan to see how he's going to work out with the likes of Diver Caicedo. I think having two lots of attacking fullbacks and then two lots of attacking wingers, you know, I love Russell Tybert. I think he's done a great job, but he's not an out and out winger. I think, you know, I would have liked to have maybe seen Ryan Raposo or bring in Theo Bear, put him up top and put Tahome back out on the wings. I maybe would have at least liked to see that for 15, 20 minutes or so, especially in these games where, you know, like we said, that the Whitecaps have a lead. They've got, you know, limited players on the bench. So it would have been nice to see a few more minutes, but, you know, we've sort of been over the subs already. And I'm sure the third sub podcast are having a field day with that today. But, I would have liked to have sort of seen that a little bit more, but I do think having two attacking fullbacks and then having two, you know, wingers that maybe drift a little bit more than sort of conventional left and right midfielders, I think that would be a huge, huge key to open up that space, create pockets for the likes of Dahomey. He's very quick up front. You know, the high press works pretty well against Portland, I'd say. And then him and Cava up front were just, I really enjoyed that partnership. And it looked good in preseason. It looked good. Was it yesterday? No, 2 days ago.
Day before?
It's Tuesday. It's all blurring together.
All days run together now.
Yeah.
It's just day. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just earlier and later.
Yeah.
Overall, it's a really good looking team. And, you know, overall, you know, the front two, Cavallini and Dahomey, that's all we've got left. And a little bit of our breakdown here of Sunday's game. What did you make of the forward pairing on Sunday?
I thought Cava was great. I think that his confidence level right now is sky high, and that's huge for him. I think we saw him so snake-bitten at the beginning of last season, for the first 6 months of last year. I mean, it was a weird 6 months. So
6 months that should have been about two-ish. So
yeah, exactly. So, but I think that you've seen him take that confidence that he got from the hat trick with Canada and against the Cayman Islands and just carry that. He's just riding that wave right now, and everyone better just like grab their boards and get on, because he's just going to keep going. And it's good. The thing is, he needs to make sure that he's still playing within the team structure. And that's what I liked about Sunday's game, is that a lot of his chances came off set pieces. And you saw Mark talk about that in the post game, about how proud he was of that set piece, off of that corner kick that led to the goal. And I think that that's huge, because those are the instances that you have to capitalize on in this league, especially against a team like Portland. So I think that Cava had a great game. He needs to continue to play this more, he called it maturing in his game, and being more involved on the ball, not isolating himself. And we need to see more of that going forward. Dahomey, quite honestly, I didn't think it was his best outing. I thought he was good, but nothing stood out to me that was like, ooh. There were no like, oh my goodness, look at him moments. Whereas we have had that previously with him. So it's the first game of the season. There's a lot to come from him, I am sure.
I mean, I know that was the big story last year with Dahomey about his family and, you know, the efforts it took for him to get his family from Colombia, joining them in Vancouver, and then he was down in Portland. So it was a big hassle. And, you know, we saw that with time, you know, whether how much his family played an impact on it, you know, it's tough to say, but he really did pick up form. The longer the season went on, the better his play got. So I do, like you said, I do think there's a lot more to come from him. We'll get to our last point here before our quick Toronto predictions. You sort of mentioned it there that Cavallini, he did well. And I think a big part is trying to stick to that forward press, work in that 4-4-2. So overall, how would you say sort of the team stuck to this game plan that DeSantis has put out, like the 4-2-3-1 in attack, the 4-4-2 in defense, the high press, the moving forward sort of in a big block in the midfield? Overall, you know, it wasn't perfect, you know, as we can definitely say that. A lot of the possession that the Whitecaps had, which, first off, the Whitecaps had more possession than a Cascadia rival. I don't know the last
when
time.
When was the last? Exactly.
Yeah.
When is the last time that happened? So I think that is a huge point to take away. Obviously, there are some spots that can be cleaned up. But I think that it was a strong start. And it's the first game of the regular season. Half of the team was in quarantine or injured, half the starters. So there are giant leaps to come, and there are going to be growing pains, but that was a solid start. I like that system. It's not going to work against every team.
Nope.
But it worked on Sunday, so I'm intrigued to see where we go from here.
And how much do you think you can take away from this first game? Like you said, it's, you know, every team's going to be different. There's only, you know, missing four or five different starters, mainly in the back line as well. going forward, it's a good wing win. I'm hoping they can build some momentum against a weakened Toronto FC side with a lot of injuries. This could be a perfect 1-2 game to open up the year. But how much are you really taking away from it when the season's all said and done? Is this this was the first game the Whitecaps made their push, or was it a 3 points that, you know, added to hopefully a playoff total?
I think the latter, but because I don't know how much the team we saw on Sunday will resemble what is the ideal for this group. So it was a great result. Anytime you get 3 points, you're just going to take them. But I don't know that it tells us a whole bunch about what we're going to see going forward here. Mm-hmm. That said, I think they're going to need a lot of the same pieces, a lot of the same positives that we saw on Sunday going into next weekend against Toronto. Like you said, Toronto's a weekend side, but they're also super hungry. I think they were a little bit embarrassed by the result last weekend, even though Montreal's looking good.
They are. I did a sort of a preseason prediction sort of thing for the lineup, not the lineups, the standings. I had Montreal a lot higher than some people are giving them credit for.
Yeah, it's. I mean, when you change literally everything about the team from the name to the coach,
something's gonna stick.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. I think that Montreal's a tough group, and that was a solid first effort from them. But I don't think Toronto was expecting them to come out with that much fire, and they got a little burned. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be a little bit sassy about it come this weekend. So. I think that the Whitecaps need to be ready. I'm very interested to see what we get in terms of a starting 11, whether we get to see some of those new pieces that we're all so eagerly anticipating. And if so, how they work their way into the lineup. How do they integrate with this group? We know that the core of this team has been working together for a while. What's it like to add some unfamiliar faces?
Well, Gemma, we've really appreciated your time coming on the show. Just before we let you go, can I get a score prediction for this Saturday against Toronto?
Ooh. Ooh. I think it'll be a 2-1 game.
For who?
Ooh. I think I'm not going to win myself any fans here, but I think Toronto's going to win this one, 2-1. Okay.
I had Portland winning 3-1, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. It's not just me.
Yeah. No. it's a see it when I believe it sort of thing here at 90 plus.
I like that.
Okay.
Like
so 2-1 Toronto. I'll keep the momentum with the Whitecaps. I think Toronto's, there's a lot of injuries there. There's a lot of momentum with the Whitecaps right now. Hopefully maybe the likes of Bruno Gaspar, he's probably looking more likely to join than Kayo. So I'm going to say 1-0 again. I'm going to say 1-0 and it's going to be, that's Russell Tybert. Let's go for it. You know, he's...
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah. I like it. Yeah. All right.
We shall see. Well, Gemma, thank you very much for coming on. We're definitely going to have you on again later on in the season. Really appreciated you coming on here today.
Thanks so much for having me, Ben.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. We'll talk soon. All right, we now welcome onto the show Michael Singh from Waking the Red, covering the Toronto FC. Michael, how are you doing today?
Hey, Ben, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good, a pleasure, pleasure. So let's, no beating around the bush. The Whitecaps play in Toronto next week or this week by the time you guys are listening to this episode. Not the best of starts in the league for Toronto. What went wrong out there against Montreal?
Yeah, really. Definitely not a great start for Toronto FC. Not really what you expected. There was a lot of reasons why Toronto FC did not win that match. We can point to, I guess, to start things off, was their starting 11 wasn't the strongest starting 11 with all the injuries they're trying to deal with. I think they had 8 missing players from their match for versus Montreal. And that included Josie Altidore, Alejandro Pozuelo, Chris Mavinga, Jonathan Osorio. So some really key figures in that team. So they were starting sort of on the short end there. They're also coming off a match 4 days prior, a big Champions League match versus Club Lyon, which I feel like they put all of their focus into that. And Montreal was sort of an afterthought. and they got punished. They got killed off transition. Montreal beat them with pace, and they capitalized on their scoring chances. So I think that was really the biggest difference, and that was the biggest cause of Toronto FC losing that match.
And are there any sort of reports or anything, do you know, like you said, those sorts of players, Akinola, Pozuelo, Altidore, Azario, are any of them going to be back by Vancouver next weekend? Or
yeah, so here's another, I guess, tidbit to be concerned with if you're a Toronto FC fan is, I guess, 3 days after the Vancouver match, they play their next quarterfinal Champions League match versus Cruz Azul. So, yes, to answer your question, Jonathan Osorio will be back. Josie Altidore and Pozuelo, I'm not too sure about. They might take it a little bit more cautious with those guys because it is still early in the year, technically. Maybe save them for that Champions League match. Ayo Akinola could be back in the mix. So Jonathan Osorio will for sure be available. The other three are still question marks. But hopefully they get some reinforcements.
And would you expect to see Osorio? Like you said, if there is a big Champions League game 2-3 days later, would you expect to see him getting some minutes at least, getting, dusting off the cobs a little bit against the Whitecaps?
Yeah, I think like you said, I think they need to dust off the cobwebs a little bit there with Osorio. I think he missed some time last year, and the first game he came back, he didn't look the sharpest. So I think just getting him a run out, gets his touches right, would do him some wonder.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a pretty similar squad to 2020 for Toronto, not a whole lot of transfer activity. What do you think of the lack of transfers, I guess, for Toronto in this past window?
Yeah, it's a good question. And there's two different ways you can look at it. From an outsider's perspective, you can be kind of concerned because obviously you like to have kind of new shiny toys come into the squad, inject some freshness, and obviously try and improve on the squad that they had. But that being said, I think there's a lot of belief, especially from Toronto FC, who have had a lot of success in years past, that they have pieces in their squad right now who are capable of, you know, still being quality MLS players. And they have enough pieces in their squad to be a top contending MLS team. And when you couple that with their youth movement, with their really pushing, and the likes of Anayo Akinola, Jaden Nelson, Noble Kello, like you can even throw Luke Singh into that. Like these kids are only going to get better and improve. And they're sort of star figures, their core figures. Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore, Omar Gonzalez are on the, I guess, higher end of in terms of age, especially in MLS. But they still have a lot left in the tank, and I don't think they're as important as you know, some people make them out to be in this squad right now. Mm-hmm. So they still have a designated player spot that they can fill. They haven't made that transfer, but Bill Manning has told us that, you know, they do plan on making that transfer sometime in the summer. So I think they're patient because they believe in the squad that they have. We'll see how this plays out.
So no transfers really coming in, a number of players out with injuries. So that means, you know, you're digging deeper into the sort of well of players that Toronto FC have. Like you said, there's the big youth movement and everything. Who are some of these sort of players that, you know, that maybe if you're a Whitecaps fan, you're not a whole lot sure about Toronto and everything. Who are some players that might, you know, that will be in the squad on Saturday that we might not know about, kind of diamond in the rough sort of things that Whitecap players need to look out for?
Yeah, I think one player who's making a really big impact early on has been Jacob Schaffelberg. If you're a Canadian soccer fan, you'd know Jacob Schaffelberg because he's been involved with the Canadian men's national team and some of their camps. He's a really pacey winger. And he's been kind of used in sort of a false nine position where he's playing off the big striker, whether that be Patrick Mullins or Altidore if he's in, or even Akinola if they're. And he's been trying to get in behind. And on this Toronto FC squad, there aren't many players who have that pace. So I'd say Jacob Schaffelberg is really one to watch. I think he's gone the full 90 in two out of three Toronto FC matches. He's played in all three matches so far, and he's still 21 years old. So still relatively new, and he had a solid 2019, kind of took a step back in 2020, but under their new head coach, Chris Armas, it seems like he's a little bit more reinvigorated. So he's definitely a player I would circle to watch. And of course, I think we're starting to see the emergence of Richie Larea more. He seems more confident, and I'm sure Vancouver Whitecaps fans know about him,
yeah.
But I don't know if they know he's this good, because Toronto FC fans are pretty surprised at how much of a step forward Richie Lara has taken, because he took such a big step forward in 2019, a bigger step forward in 2020, and it looks like he's continuing that trajectory, even though he's at 25, 26 years old right now. He was fantastic for against Montreal, easily the best player on the pitch for Toronto FC. So he's another one Whitecaps fans should keep an eye on.
And sort of, I guess, the opposite, I guess, of that question, you know, a lot of injuries. You know, some players are, you know, might be playing out of position or whatever. Is there any areas that maybe Toronto is kind of lacking in, or there's not a lot of depth, or, you know, you kind of got someone in at maybe, you know, wing back or whatever, and kind of saying, oh, you know, he wouldn't typically get as many minutes just because of the injuries or whatever. So is there sort of a area on the pitch that's, you know, heavily been affected by these injuries?
To be honest with you, like, every position has been hit with injuries. I'll go, like, the striker position, Ayo Akinola, Jozy Altidore, like, Patrick Mullins, who's technically the third string striker on the roster, has been eating up the most minutes there. It's also given opportunity to Jordan Perusa, who is a 19-year-old who's come in, and, you know, he's done well in his first two games. And moving back to that, like, our number 10, we don't have a number 10 in our squad, because both Pozuelo and Azoria are out, and in their place, Noble Akello has taken over. And, you know, the central midfielder as well with Azoria. Well, we've seen more Ralph Priso involved. And going back to the center back position, that's the biggest concern. And there were two players who have been injured, is Eric Zavaleta and Chris Mavinga. Zavaleta, it looks like he is back. But in order to kind of supplement that back line, the TFC actually signed a center back, Luke Singh, who is 20 years old, and he made his MLS debut against Montreal. He started and went the full 90, a rookie center back. So to give you some insight there into their injury problems, I mean, it's literally every single position that they're struggling with right now.
So big striker Lucas Cavallini, he's in pretty good form right now. So I'm sure he'll, you know, be eyeing up that 20-year-old and, you know, seeing what he can do there. Michael, thank you so much for coming on. I think we're just about out of time. Before I let you go, though, can I get a score prediction for Saturday?
Oh,
it's okay to say, you know, Toronto. No, it's a Whitecaps podcast, but you can say Toronto wins. There'll be no hate. I said Portland would win last episode, and I was wrong. So
I was actually on a Montreal podcast like last week, and I did give Montreal the nod there. That being said, I do believe TFC are going to bounce back for this one. They were kind of embarrassed against Montreal, and I feel like they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. So I'm going to go 3-1 TFC.
3-1. Okay, fair enough. I can respect that. Well, thank you so much, Michael, for coming on. Thank you as well to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And are you tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas? Looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league, squad, adult, or even pro team? Well, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. And with our ad reads done, that is going to wrap up episode 44 here of the 90 Plus podcast. Thank you to Gemma and Michael for coming on, chatting some Whitecaps, chatting some TFC preview. Really appreciate it. I'm your host, Ben Righetti, at Righetti Ben on Twitter. Be sure to check us out on Instagram and Twitter at 90 Plus Podcast. Be there for our game day giveaway as well with our partner, Soccer West. Comment who you think will be the first Whitecaps goal scorer in Toronto's game this upcoming Saturday for a chance to win a $25 gift card to their 4 conveniently located stores. Michael, thank you so much for coming on. I've been your host, Ben Righetti, talking all things Whitecaps for 90 Plus Podcast. Talk to you guys soon. See ya.